out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 5th of October 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, I've got three rather interesting news stories today. The first one continues on a theme that we've been exploring over these last couple of weeks. It doesn't matter how you interact with non-whites. If there's a chance that they can cause harm to white people, they will. Now, we've seen this in the medical industry. We've seen this in the NHS, where 70% of the people struck off for incompetence are foreign. We see this with the criminal underworld and the criminal violence that takes place against white people, with young blacks 10 times more likely to be jailed for violent offences than whites. And this particular news story today is an example of it happening in restaurants, in foreign takeaways. And this is the particular reason that people actually come up with for why we need to have diversity. This is supposedly one of the wonders that diversity brings, is all this vast choice of food that we have, that we wouldn't have if we didn't have non-whites here, that we're obviously incapable of actually making curries for ourselves. But the reason that's given for diversity, the most common reason, is the food, because it means that we can eat all these different varieties of food. But what they don't actually tell you is that the places where they're actually selling this food have a much higher percentage chance of being found to be absolutely filthy and unfit for human consumption. Now, I've seen reports of these takeaways where there hasn't even been any toilet roll, and the chef has been using a bottle of water to wipe his backside with, because it's not culturally acceptable for him to use toilet rolls. So he's been sticking his hands up his backside, basically, and then cooking for people. And you could see this bottle was really dirty and grimy. And that's just one instance. I can recall other instances of rat droppings throughout the takeaway. And this is a particularly sad incident that I'm going to talk about here, because somebody's died from it. A 15-year-old white girl. And she actually died from a severe allergic reaction after she had placed an order with an Indian takeaway, which was so dirty it was infested with mouse droppings, a court heard today. Megan Lee, who had a peanut allergy, began fighting for breath after she ate a Sikh kebab. She was killed by a kebab, an onion bhaji and Peshwari naan bread, ordered from a curry house via the takeaway app Just Eat. She was taken to hospital but died 2 days later. A jury heard, although the food she ate did not ordinarily contain nuts, all were found to have traces of nut, and the kitchen was branded a hazard to public health. Investigators carried out hygiene tests at the Royal Spice in Oswald Twissel, Lancashire, and found dirty and stained kitchen appliances and surfaces, with staff untrained in how to deal with food which could spark allergic reactions. The girl had made the restaurant aware that she was allergic to nuts, but nothing was done about it. She wrote down on a note that she was allergic to nuts and she can't have any food with nuts in it. And when the order was received by the takeaway, the food order was prepared by staff at the takeaway as normal and dispatched for delivery. At about 6 p.m. that evening, the delivery arrived. The driver was a Pakistani named Rashid, but no inquiry was made by him as to what the entry in the comments or the notes section of the order meant, or the possible meaning of it, or any potential allergies or risks. I mean, it's quite clear she put peanuts in the notes. The girls shared out the food, including the kebab. But on beginning to eat the kebab, Megan suffered an immediate reaction. Her friend noticed that her lip appeared lumpy. Her friend advised her mum, and she was given a liquid Piriton, which is a medication that she would normally take, but it didn't work. She later continued to eat the takeaway food, but did not eat any more kebab. But unfortunately, nuts were in all the rest of it as well. Megan's mum collected her, and she was not showing any signs of discomfort other than a rash on her left cheek. At home, she went upstairs, and shortly after, she called her mother. She was struggling to breathe. Her lips were swollen and blue. An ambulance was called, but Megan's condition deteriorating rapidly, and her breathing then stopped. At hospital, her condition did not improve, and she had suffered irreversible brain damage. There was nothing that could be done for her. Tests later showed Megan had suffered a fatal asthma attack, which was precipitated by an allergic reaction to nuts. Police later spoke to Rashid, who said he had accepted the order from Just Eat and passed it on to one of the chefs to prepare. He recalled the reference to prawns and nuts, but said that none of the dishes contained them. Training standards officials then inspected the takeaway on January the 6th, 2017, and ordered it to be shut down immediately. Mr. Wright in court added, "It soon became apparent that there were no procedures in place for allergen management. No written record of recipes was either made or kept. There was no apparent system for cleaning of utensils or cutlery. No appropriate conditions designed to protect customers with known allergies from being exposed, and a number of ingredients used without any adequate control that they may contain nuts or traces of nuts. There was an obvious lack of control of allergens within the premises, with little or no attempt to protect public health and safety." They weren't even teaching the employees how to wash up. They didn't even have anything in there that they could wash up with, to actually clean anything with. The premises themselves and various appliances within them were therefore not clean. There was evidence of mouse droppings, dirty and stained surfaces and appliances. There was little or no evidence of staff having received any form of training in the preparation of foodstuff, hygiene, or food safety. Now, this is a takeaway that's operating on Britain's streets. How many others are there like this? How many others are there that are full of mouse droppings and poison, where they don't have any standards? Well, why would they care to have any standards? They don't care about white people. They think we're idiots. They think we're dogs. They couldn't care less if they're feeding poison to us. All the better if the Muslims are feeding poison to us. There's nothing in their Quran that says that they have to look out for our best interests. Quite the opposite. The staff were asked to make a replica order of the takeaway meal to Megan, but samples recovered from the kitchen and analysed confirmed the widespread presence of peanut proteins at levels that were unsafe for people that were allergic to peanuts. Peanut was present in the naan bread, peanut was present in the onion bhaji, and peanut was present in the kebab. This business presented a hazard to public health, and it caused the death of Megan. And this is really sad. This white girl, she didn't know any better, and she ordered food from a curry house. It doesn't matter how tempted you get for something to eat, how desperate you are for fast food, don't go into any of these non-white premises. They are not as hygienic as we are. They couldn't care less if they poison you. All you're doing is helping their businesses out. You're just handing your money over to foreigners. Now, I understand it can be a little bit awkward for people that are living in multicultural cities. It can be very hard to find somewhere where it's a white person that's actually serving you. But, you know, if you can make that extra effort of trying to find somewhere that is white and refuse to go to a curry house, if it's friends of yours that are saying, well, let's go out and let's all go out and have a meal, we'll say, well, I'd rather not go to a curry house. I'd rather not go to a kebab shop or a Chinese restaurant. Can we go and get some fish and chips? go to a fish and chip place, or go to a white restaurant, go to an English restaurant, or a Welsh or Scottish one. But don't go in these non-white places. You really are taking your health in your hands. And if it wasn't for this allergy, they could very well, at this restaurant, they very well could have poisoned people with E. coli or food poisoning just from all the crap that was lying around there and their inability to actually clean things. I mean, when you actually think about the kebab, what they've got there, they've just got this meat that you don't know how old that meat is, and is just revolving on a spike at a warm temperature. I mean, that is just a recipe for germs at a warm temperature like that. Meat either wants to be frozen or it wants to be piping hot and cooked. And once it is cooked, it needs to be cooked down and frozen. You can't keep reheating it, which is what they're doing with those kebabs. And what sort of standard is the meat that they've got on there? It's all pureed up. It's all going to be crown and rump, crown and toenails rather than rump steak in there. It's going to be not very good to eat. And then they'll add loads of flavorings with it. Why do you think they put all those sauces with these kebabs to cover up the horrible flavor of the meat? And I don't know how they get it past the Trade Descriptions Act actually calling it meat. I mean, it really is mystery meat. That's what the kebab is. It's a rather appropriate form of food that they're selling there. And this is very sad anyway, that this white woman, white young white girl has died because of this. And I hope this is a warning to others. But the problem is, when things like this happen, people don't look at it racially. They just think, oh, it's terrible that these restaurants, they made a terrible mistake there, and they didn't do their research into allergens. But it's not that. It has to be looked at that this is a white girl that's been killed by non-whites in the restaurant industry. We have to look at things racially. If people did begin to look at things racially, they would understand. It's like all those people, all those white people that are wondering why it was that the surgeon did what he did to them and left them with chronic pain for the rest of their lives. The reason why he did that is because he's non-white. That's the reason why this happened. And if you look at things from an esoteric, metaphysical standpoint, and you just look at non-whites as a group, they will just cause whatever harm they possibly can to white people, because the universe wants white people to separate from non-white, because otherwise the white race will get blended out. So there is always this drive for us to separate. And how does that drive work? Well, at first, there's just a different language, so we can't understand what each other is saying. If we don't separate, then there will be instances of strife between us. There'll be arguments between us, misunderstandings. If we still don't separate, then there'll be muggings, there'll be robberies. If we still don't separate, there'll be terrorism, there'll be rape gangs. Caused by this time, there'll be restaurants and businesses that are opened. And the restaurants and the businesses, they will also, when they get a chance to, will harm whites. Because we are supposed to be separating from the non-whites. You have to look at it like that. There is no possible benefit whatsoever from having non-whites in the same territory as us. Moving on to the next story that I've got here. And this one actually comes from Iceland. Elite elementary schools in Iceland are teaching boys to put on nail polish and give each other full body massages, while girls are discouraged from crying to counter gendered behaviours. And this is a recipe for turning boys and girls into transsexuals, into transgenders. The way you create a transgender is to get a young child to behave in the way that the opposite gender behaves, and then reward them for doing so. And they soon realize that by behaving like the opposite gender, it's of benefit to them. They get praised, and then they end up being confused about what gender they are. I just don't understand how this can be going on without the people that are doing it being accused of child abuse. I mean, everybody is is just completely brainwashed by this into accepting it, that it's a good thing. Why would it be a good thing to blur the lines between gender and confuse people? And to do it to the weakest, most innocent members of society, to do it to the children, it's absolutely sick. It's sick that these people are doing it. No surprise that this school was founded by self-described radical feminist Margaret Parler Olafsdottir, the 20 nursery and elementary Hallstefnan schools in Iceland. There are 20 of them. Iceland, which has a population of just 334,000. These schools separate the girls' and boys' classes for the majority of the day so that they can be taught to practice behaviours of the opposite sex. I mean, again, this is the opposite of what we've always been told. They said, well, you shouldn't be separating boys from girls. They should all be getting on together. But they can't put the boys and the girls together because the boys will see that the girls are different to them and they behave differently to them. So they've had to separate them. Elementary school boys are taught to massage each other with lotion to learn how to have gentle hands. I mean, that is so twisted as to encourage them to become homosexual. And they're also taught to play at looking after babies with gender-neutral rag dolls. And this is torture for these children. There's a quote here from one of the teachers. The dolls are only for the boys. The girls don't need to practice this. And that's Kristin Cardew. She was saying that to American broadcaster NBC News while she was teaching a class on structured gender compensation work at one of these Hjali schools in Reykjavik. Meanwhile, girls' gender deconstruction lessons include climbing walls and trees. Climbing trees isn't appropriate behaviour for young girls. I guess they've got them in gender-neutral clothes, which means I guess they've got them dressing like boys as well. And while the activities are, according to one teacher, intended to empower women, the broadcaster noted that crying is particularly discouraged and weeping girls are promptly told to stop. How is it empowering women to try and get them to do things that they're not, or empowering women to try and get young girls to do things that boys can do a lot better than them, like climbing walls and trees? That's not going to empower them. They're going to realise that they're not very good at it. People find this a bit ruthless, but we're making women weaker by not stopping them, said Cardew, explaining that crying was an extreme weakness of girls. Well, I guess crying can be seen as rather annoying, but at the same time, if it's appropriate, then it can have the desired effect of getting sympathy from the male, from the protector of the species, from the protector of women. I mean, they're acting as if women don't need men to protect them anymore, which they certainly do. They're not capable of protecting themselves. They have only 2/3 of our body strength. They're only able to do all of this with our permission. If they do not actively put on behaviours of the opposite gender, they risk suffering episodes of what Hjali teaching model founder Mrs. Olafsdottir calls blue and pink hazes, which, if deemed negative behaviours, must be discouraged in boys and girls respectively. So rather like if you suddenly get angry and freak out, and that's called a red haze, they have blue and pink hazes at these schools. Speaking to Euronews earlier in 2018, Olafsdottir called girls being stereotypically considerate, nice and gentle as an example of a pink haze. So she's trying to teach these girls to be inconsiderate, horrible and rough. How is that going to benefit these girls when they grow up? These parents that have sent their children to this school must be completely insane. Boys being noisy, independent, taking initiative and moving around a lot. That's masculine or boyish culture, and we call it the blue haze, she added. So boys naturally being boys, they're being punished for naturally being boys, and girls are punished for naturally being girls at this school. I don't understand how this can possibly be legal, how this can go on without total condemnation of it all round. And it just shows you how brainwashed people are that they will put up with this. In the higher levels of education, gender studies is compulsory. at 27 of the 33 high schools on the Nordic island nation. Well, it's just been banned in Hungary. That gives you a contrast to Iceland. Other Nordic nations have gone to extremes to ensure gender parity. In the winter of 2016, for example, equality snow removal was introduced in Stockholm, Sweden, prioritising cleaning the sidewalks over cleaning the roads as more women walked to work. This, of course, resulted in the Swedish capital coming to a standstill, with road commuters affected by a sudden heavy snowfall. I would suggest it probably caused a hell of a lot of accidents as well, if they decided not to remove the snow from the roads because more women walked to work and needed the sidewalks cleaning. Absolutely crazy, you know. We think we have it bad over here in Britain, but it's nothing compared to in the Nordic nations. Well, let's have a look again at what's happening over here in Britain, and this is to do with Tommy Robinson. A teen student says that she has left college, or was forced to leave college, after revealing her support for Tommy Robinson. She was told, get out, we don't want people with your views. This is a teacher that told her this. The 17-year-old told Stoke-on-Trent Live that she was ostracised on day one of the community college course run by Total People in Crewe, Cheshire, which she had enrolled in to pick up qualifications in English and mathematics. I was given a final warning for being too right-wing, she claimed. This is on the first day she was given a final warning. After falling foul of a classroom dominated by supporters of Jeremy Corbyn, the hard-left Labour Party leader. It was the first day and we were all having a conversation when Jeremy Corbyn came up. I asked people not to get into it because I was filled with a room of lefties, the student told Stoke-on-Trent Live. I said my opinion and the teacher said, get out, we don't want people with your views. And then I was given a final warning for being too right-wing. The class then started asking everyone who their favourite person was and I said, Tommy Robinson. I like what he is doing for our country, and I follow all of his stories. I think he is a saviour, she added. The teen said she was made to feel so uncomfortable that she was terrified to continue with the classes, and has now pulled out. Everyone should be allowed to have their own opinion, but I felt mine was just shot down. I'm terrified, and I don't want to go back, she said. Her father, Gareth Cook, said he was absolutely fuming that, according to his daughter, staff had turned around and said she might not be able to continue with the course for expressing her views. She had to sit there and put up with opinions she doesn't agree with, and they only reacted like this because it's Tommy Robinson, he said. I'm a big fan and think the guy is a legend, but this is how people react when they hear his name. Well, we had a report a while back about how these children of right-wing politicians are being bullied by their teachers and being singled out for attacks. And what we've got here is the same thing that's going on in college. I mean, this is supposed to be a free country. This is supposed to be a free country. You're supposed to be able to hold any views that you like. I mean, you're supposed to hear all views for a democracy to work. It's not a democracy if some people's opinions are silenced. That's totalitarianism. What we're living under is totalitarianism, what the left described nationalism as, which nationalism is not totalitarianism. Nationalism is about doing what is best for the nation. And if you want to do what's best for the nation, then you have to hear everybody's ideas. And in democracy, everybody's supposed to have a representative for them. And this girl's representative who speaks to her concerns is Tommy Robinson. And she can't even admit that in class without being told that the college is going to deny their services to her. It's the same as these payment processors denying services to nationalists and patriots just because they don't like other people's views. If anybody had said to me 10 years ago that this would be going on in Britain, I would have just laughed. I would have said that there's no way that anybody could get away with doing that. But where it's full spectrum, as it were, where it's coming out on the media, all through the media, they support this. The schools support it. The politicians support it. All the newspapers support it. Where everywhere it seems as if nationalism is terrible and it equates to violence, people seem to go along with it and they seem to be accepting it. But when you actually boil it down to essentially what it is, it's refusing people services because you don't like their political views. I mean, that's all it is. I mean, what is so shocking about Tommy Robinson's views? He doesn't like the ideology of Islam. And the reason why he doesn't like the ideology of Islam is because he sees the way that Muslims behave in Islamic countries, and he sees the way that they are, some of them behave in Britain. I mean, and anybody can see that he's correct in his analysis of it, but because it's Tommy Robinson that's saying it, he's apparently Islamophobic. And he says the same things that the Home Secretary is saying in some cases, and yet he will still be accused of being Islamophobic. So if Tommy Robinson reports on a grooming gang trial, that's a hate crime. But if the Daily Mail reports on it, well, that's absolutely fine. Now, a lot of this is down to this drive that the government have to promote diversity everywhere. All the companies, all the public companies, public schools, colleges, organisations, they've all got to be seen to be promoting diversity and fighting racism. And what they've done is they've extended that to include making any parties that are anti-immigration or are anti-Islam, banning them outright, which goes against fundamental freedoms. But that's the reason why these colleges and these places feel confident in actually doing this, because they will say, well, we are just carrying out the government's directive that everywhere has to promote diversity. So if we're going to be promoting diversity, we can't have somebody here that doesn't agree with it, because that would mean that they're not promoting it. See, I don't know whether the government just hasn't realised how all of these directives that they've put out and these changes in the law, whether they don't realise that this is impinging on people's freedoms, or whether they've deliberately done it, because I find it very hard to believe that some of them have really, you know, would go along with this. Because having somebody kicked out of college because of their political views, and if you were to say that to any politician, they would say, well, that's terrible, that can't go on in Britain. And yet it's the knock-on effect of what the government's doing with its promotion of diversity. And I guess the politician will say, oh, yes, well, we can't have hate speech. Or, oh, yes, but it wasn't politicians, was it? It wasn't politics. It was an extremist. Tommy Robinson is an extremist because the ex-head of terrorist police said that Tommy Robinson was an extremist. So we can't have people that support extremism in colleges. So that's the sort of excuse that they would come up with. But the actual organisation that did this, they were asked to respond to these allegations. And of course, they responded with a generic statement. They said, we are an inclusive organisation. We are values led. And we ask that all learners are collaborative, respect each other's views, and work towards common goals. Well, they obviously didn't respect this young girl's views, did they? But their answer to that will be, oh, yes, but because she likes Tommy Robinson, she obviously doesn't respect Muslims' views, so therefore we had to ban her. This is the sort of logic that they use. Continuing with their response, they said, we have successfully worked with learners over a 20-plus year period from many different backgrounds, religions, and diverse cultures. We are confident that we provide a fair and supportive environment that enables everyone to work together and achieve their learning and employment goals. We uphold British values of democracy, the rule of law, respect and tolerance, and individual liberty. Yeah, individual liberty, unless you support Tommy Robinson, and then there's no respect for you, no tolerance, no individual liberty, no democratic rights, and the rule of law doesn't apply to you. That's the way it seems. Anyway, to finish up with something positive today, Ofcom, this is the company that monitor British television, they've actually received 3,000 complaints about the recent Sky TV Tommy Robinson interview. And all of those complaints actually came from Tommy Robinson's supporters. 3,000 complaints. It's almost the largest amount of complaints that they have ever had for a television interview. Now, this is really good because, you know, this is the first time that there's been a large number of complaints about the right wing being portrayed in a bad light in an interview, in a dishonest light. So we want to see more of this. We want to see more complaints about the way that the TV deals with the so-called far right and Tommy Robinson in particular. And good on those Tommy fans that got in touch with Ofcom, that actually bothered to contact them and do something about it. Because they will have to investigate this now, and they will see that Sky TV were actually lying in this interview and they were misquoting him. So yeah, hopefully we'll actually see a public acknowledgement of that fact. And of course it draws attention to it, to the contents of that interview, which was very good. I think Tommy Robinson did very well in the unedited interview. Anyway, that brings us to the end of the podcast today. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget, we do require donations to keep Radio Aryan going, and we do have a Bitcoin wallet, which you can find at the bottom of every article. If you're having difficulties with working out how to use Bitcoin, then just drop by the chat room. Give me a shout on there. I'll be quite happy to explain it. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. I hope you have a good weekend. And of course, God bless and hail victory.